opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
We'll track down Dan O'Dowd here in a matter of moments. Welcome back to G&D here on The Fan. I'm Danny Ruggier along with Linnell Willingham.
Kind of what's up, buddy? Me.
Short notice. Glad you're in the building.
Glad to be here with you, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely, my friend. We'll be with you till 6:30 post-Marine. We're exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condor and Morad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. We're going to talk some quarterback.
Ooh.
The show.
Okay,
quarterback, the Netflix documentary. Okay. So, by extension, talking about quarterbacks. Double play, 345, 4 o'clock Beltway Blitz. And Warren Sharp, a guy that I love so much because he's so smart,
he's
breaks down numbers, and puts... He quantifies things that you think you see with really good data. And I love that. Like one of my best buddies went to Harvard, went to Duke Medical School, one of the smartest guys I've ever met in my life. And he deals in really complicated stuff. He explains things to me.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? I don't do his thing.
And it makes you understand it.
And I can understand his thing.
It's a skill.
Like he takes the people that use their industry jargon to explain the industry. It's like, oh, you're smart. You could do that, but you're not. You got that level.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Warren's at that level where he can explain the complicated thing. Anyway, so he'll come, and he's not coming on. We'll talk about where he's got this local 53's running back room.
Yeah.
It's not ranked that high.
It's not, but I think people are going to be surprised by what the running back room does this year. I can't wait till pads come on because that's the point in camp where you can really start to evaluate running backs, Danny. This Jacory Kroski-Moret, I'm intrigued. I'm not putting him in Canton yet like some others are. But I am intrigued by what he could be.
Yeah, what's his jacket size, said some of the fans.
Well,
we're gonna fit him for something that's golden.
Yeah.
And again, we'll have Dan O'Dowd on in a matter of moments. Still tracking him down. But yeah, so then at the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to talk some jerseys. I'm glad actually you're sitting in here as a young person.
For sure.
Whose sort of perspective and value systems are like not fully formed yet. And like
that was so polite of you. I thought you could have went a million different ways with that, but I appreciate you keeping it.
It's a nice way to say you don't know anything. But you're not going to care the same way as someone like me about kind of that jersey stuff. So I want to see what you think
for sure.
As someone in your age group. So we will do that. But I've heard a bunch of your thoughts on this matter when it comes to Rizzo and Davey Martinez. But we want to get our guy Dan O'Dowd on the phone from MLB Network, former big league GM. Dan, good afternoon, man. Thanks for joining us.
What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
I really appreciate the time. So, first reaction, you see Davey Martinez, Mike Rizzo fired. Your thoughts are?
Well, I'm just surprised at the timing of it. I'm not surprised overall. I think all these jobs have a shelf life to them. Mike had a really, really long run there. I'm just as surprised at the timing. So close to the draft and the trading deadline.
Yeah, that's been the big talk here locally is the timing of it. Obviously, you mentioned the Nats own the number one overall pick. Coming up on Sunday, obviously you've been in this chair before. If you were the Curly W's on Sunday, which way are you going when it comes to the top of the draft?
Yeah, that's a loaded question right there. It's nice to have the number one pick. You wish it was a year it had a Skeens, Harper, or Strasburg sitting there. Make it a lot easier. I mean, I don't it depends on what they're trying to do in D.C. I mean, I like Ethan Holliday. I think he's got some Corey Seager swing characteristics in his game. I like all three of the – I mean, I like really all five of the college pitchers. So it depends on what their draft strategy is. Are they going to – you know, Boris represents, I think, Anderson and Holliday. You know, you probably aren't going to get any kind of pre-draft deal, which allows you to understand what you can spend throughout the draft. So are they going to, in their mind, just take the best player on the board? Or are they going to try to take a player that is in a grouping of guys and there's not huge separations and sign him for X so they can spend Y? I'm a big believer that, you know, you got to take the best player on your board, because at the end of the day, all your war value in the draft really comes in the top 100, some years, 150 players of the draft. So when you're sitting in this position, you just got to get it right. You can't necessarily worry about the next one until you get this one right.
Dan O'Dowd.
Anyway, go ahead, guys.
No, I apologize. Dan O'Dowd with us here on Grant and Linnell sitting in for GP. So, Dan, ultimately, when it comes to the timing, understanding here, Davey Martinez, they haven't won very much since 2019, and before then they didn't win. The record isn't very good. Some of the same base running gaffes and kind of the normal temperament of the players. You see that makes sense, underachieving team.
Yep.
And they also had an extension or an option that needed to be picked up next week that's been reported. I don't have a firm date on when Rizzo's option was going to be picked up, but I know that it's at some point in the next couple of months, or that's something that I heard anyway. So I want to go back to that timing part of it. To me, when they're going together, it looks like there's something else afoot there, right? Whether there's no changes that were made on the staff, so there's almost like in defiance of ownership, or there's an ultimatum that was refused. It's just the way that looks. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I don't know, guys. I mean, every situation's so dynamically different. Mike's comments going out the door would lead you to believe that maybe he was, you know, mentally done in that particular situation too. It would seem to me that it's very unusual for, I think the last time it happened was 2006, I think, when Alan Baird got let go with Kansas City and Tony Muser was the manager. They both got let go at the same time. It just seems a case to me where maybe ownership wanted to do X, Mike wanted to do Y, and then it was determined that, well, maybe it's best to just do X and Y right now.
Dan, the one thing that was kind of confusing to me, this organization's messaging coming out of spring training, was that they were going to be able to compete this year potentially for a wild card spot. That was the message that they were sending out to the media. I think it was their belief in the clubhouse. How realistic were those expectations? Obviously, in hindsight, it's easy to say, well, clearly they stink. Look at the record. But coming out of spring training, when you're about to have a first full season of James Wood and, you know, you're expecting Mackenzie Gore to take that next step, where did you kind of look at them preseason?
You know, I think where I was, like you guys, there's a little bit of disconnect for me in the lack of work they did in the bullpen.
Yeah.
You know, it's really easy to dream on, and it certainly Wood has turned into a darn aircraft carrier. DJ Abrams, you know, shows signs, and second baseman's a good player, and they acquired Lowe at first base, and you had Dylan Cruz. Unfortunately, his injury, I think, short-circuited. I think he started turning the corner a little bit. And so you can really dream. They had a young starting rotation that actually pitched pretty well in 2024. And Mackenzie Gore is just taking this huge jump. But you can't win unless you win the games you're supposed to win.
Yeah.
And even they didn't sign their closer in Finnegan until really late in the year. He could have easily been picked by somebody else. I think we're seeing why maybe that didn't happen. And so I think there was a disconnect on the lack of attention or money spent or acquisition on the bullpen itself, because their bullpen has not been good this year, and they've lost a lot of games early on in their bullpen, and that begins to spiral on the rest of the club. And so, I mean, I thought the team was talented. I still think the team is talented. I just felt like, you know, I just couldn't understand the disconnect on the lack of activity with their bullpen.
So to follow up on that, Dan, in terms of like, well, obviously the Bartolo is wearing the interim tag right now. When this job officially opens up this summer, like, where do you think it ranks amongst the openings in Major League Baseball? And do you think the foundation here in D.C. is good enough to, you know, kind of expedite this rebuild if they can, you know, get the financial commitment from the ownership group?
I think you just hit the nail on the head, because it's really hard from a rebuild standpoint to make all the waves hit the shore at the same time. And so I think they have to augment this group with some free agents that take the load off this group, both in the rotation, the bullpen, and their everyday position players. And, you know, it's hard to do in just purely in free agency, because there's really not that many great players in the market anymore year after year. They're all getting signed. And so it's a great opportunity because they got a lot of core pieces there. But those core pieces are getting deeper and deeper in their arbitration years. Most of them are represented by Scott. And so it's very difficult to sign those guys long-term before they get to free agency. So I think it's a job that certainly has upside to it, but it really comes with some landmines along the way. I mean, like, all those jobs are available, have opportunity, and they come with also some challenges.
Long-time big league executive Dan O'Dowd with us here on Grant and Danny. And you touched on Urbizzo's comments out the door, Dan. I want to pull from your experience working for the Rockies, Orioles. I think you're in Cleveland as well.
Yeah.
There are ownership challenges everywhere, right? But here over the last several seasons, the pendulum was really swung in the opposite direction. Never a Dodgers-like payroll or something crazy, but usually consistently top 10 has not been the case in some time, and kind of the results bear that out. How did you navigate those sorts of situations? Kind of, do you have any empathy there for Rizzo, as he said, managing up to that ownership group for 20 years?
Yeah. It's part of the job, honestly. It's just, you have a toll. It's not just managing up. Sometimes the ownership group gets just tired of you, too. Mm. It's like any relationship you've had over a long period of time. There's a lot of tension in those roles, because you're hired to win. You see needs that you need to have. There's a different perspective on it, maybe from an ownership standpoint. And maybe you're not dealing just with one person. Maybe it's a collection of people that you're navigating. But ultimately, I say to people, the two most important role of a GM, besides scouting and development and things of that nature, from a relationship standpoint, is the one you have with your manager and the one you have with your owner. And probably the one you have with your owner is way more important than the one you have with your manager. And if there's a disconnect in any way, shape, or form, usually there's a disconnect throughout your entire organization. When I was in Baltimore, I was a peon, but I got to see that there was a severe disconnect there, and it showed on the field. In Cleveland, it was like a beautiful situation where you had an owner that was completely in sync with what was going on with the baseball operations department. In Colorado, I saw a dysfunction, and I saw moments that it was in complete sync. So, it's different in every situation, but I can tell you guys, it is one of the more challenging aspect of the jobs, though I don't think at the end of the day that was the only reason Mike lost his job. Honestly, I think it's just when you look back at their draft picks, as we just talked about, their last impactful pick in the number one slot anyway, not counting Cruz, because it's just too early to make that evaluation, was Rendon. If you look at the names they've taken over that period of time, it's just been horrendous. And, when you look at Petty and Dunning and Kaboom and Romero and Denenberg, who they didn't sign, Rutledge, and Cavalli might be a little too early, too. And G-Litter was a good pick and, used in a deal to go get Eaton. So I just think that end of the day, as a GM, you can't dig out of those mistakes year after year after year, because when you miss on those guys, you create this gigantic hole in your development process. Because you always need good young players coming up. You can't go buy a free agent team. So when you miss consistently on those picks, eventually it gets you. And I really do think that was a big thing of Mike. He just couldn't dig himself out of the misses on those selections.
Dan, if you were in charge here in Washington, knowing the current state of this franchise and what is in the farm system currently, would you consider selling off one of the major pieces at this deadline? I'm talking about Mackenzie Gore in particular,
because
I think he probably nets you the biggest return. Do you consider doing that if there's some, reservations about whether or not you can sign him long-term here?
Yeah, that's a tough one, guys. I do like some of the pitching prospects they do have in the system. This Corey Kidd and some of the other ones, I think, are going to be really good. Like, you don't know with young pitching. It's the hardest thing to draft and develop within the game. I don't know if it's a deadline deal for me or more of an off-season deal for me. Because I'd like to take the temperature on where ownership is out with augmenting McKenzie. And so I think you got to be – I think his value is not going away. I think he's turning into one of the best starting pitchers in the game. So I don't think his value is going away. But I do think it's going to be really hard to sign him long term. And so with all the other holes that you might have on your club, I do think you probably want to dip your toe in the water, or maybe up to your ankles and maybe even up to your waist. Just to see what kind of value he might be, within the market that's not going to have a ton of starting pitching on it this offseason. But historically, I'm not a big trading deadline guy. It does work sometimes, but you're only dealing with a finite amount of teams. And if you look historically, there's just not a lot of impactful players that get traded at the deadline. Maybe this year would be the exception. I think inheriting this job with 2 weeks to go, I would be really cautious on decisions that you can't undo. That's one, once you make, you can't undo it.
Dan, my last one for you is here. Just sort of thinking ahead down the line with all the different decisions that have to be made, et cetera. And I reject this notion, by the way, but if they're going to behave like a small market team, which they kind of have here over the last several seasons in terms of paying, that's from ownership down, there are ways to kind of go all in on that and make those dollars work more that I feel like weren't happening here. Is that something that you encounter to a degree over your tenure? And what some of those things might be if you're not ever going to be in on the Max Frieds or the big high price guys?
That's just an unbelievable question. I think it's a great question. I think that teams that stay in the lane that they're swimming in become so much better than trying to swim in the five other lanes. And so if it's defined that we're going to stay as a small to mid-market club, it just defines your decision-making so much better. And I think that there was a juxtaposition of really what are they? And that's the part where ownership has to step in and say, no, we're going to stay in this type of lane. And then I think you become better at your decision-making within the front office because you're fishing in a pond that's reflective of the resources you have to work with. And then you make personnel decisions, i.e. Mackenzie Gore in his service time, reflective of the lane you're going to stay in. I think you become better. So I think a long answer to a short question was, yes, I do think you can be way better than what they've been if they embrace the fact that they're going to stay in that particular lane.
Dan, great with us. Really appreciate the insight, man. Have a good one.
Yeah, great. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Really appreciate it. There he goes. That's Dan O'Dowd, MLB Network.
I just – tell me if you feel the same way. I just feel uneasy about where things are going to go with this organization. Obviously, their next move is going to determine how serious they are about spending and changing this thing moving forward, but, like, if you're a fan out there and you're apathetic and you're, you know, part of the 16,000 that are coming to home games, like, geez.
Here's what a couple different folks that I know very well and I trust implicitly, not involved in baseball ops, okay, but have told me.
Mm-hmm.
What we're getting wrong as outsiders looking in is, well, if that's the plan, well, okay, well, I'm not sure. There's no plan.
There's no plan.
There is no plan. And that's at the center to me of all of this.
Oh, yeah.
And that last answer, and I got a compliment from Dan O'Dowd, by the way, about my really good question.
I don't we know, call that glazing in my community,
Danny. That's pretty good. Thank you. But I think that's essential. Like, my example, now, Cleveland's not having a great year this year. Put that aside. Pretty much every other year they've gone to the postseason. Yeah. They've been to a World Series. They've been in ALCSs. They've been in the division round a couple different times on a fraction of the budget of some of the other teams. There are going to be times where they have to make painful, unfun decisions to let certain guys go, etc. They do a pretty damn good job, right? And if that's who you're going to be, and again, I reject that notion that you have to be that.
Right.
You shouldn't. I have so much documentation that says you can be a top 10
payroll. There are other ways to do it.
Kicking people's butts and being really close to winning a World Series and finally getting one. Doing it one way. As Mike Rizzo said, there's a blueprint over there, right? He said that.
Yeah.
But I understand that if you decide we're going to go down this road, but you have to actually go down the road.
Yeah.
That would require what? What's the word? Rhymes with Stan. Rhymes with the word flan, which is a dessert. It's a plan. And there isn't one. I think that's essential.
That's tough. And I know we went through the bit with pressuring Dan Snyder to sell. And I know all the scandals and things of that nature kind of drove that in that direction. What would be the driving force behind the Lerner selling? Like, because that's what, to me, like, that's what's going to happen for this to ultimately change. I've given up all hope in this group, because if you were going to actually invest the resources to be competitive again, you'd do it with Mike Rizzo. You wouldn't fire Mike Rizzo. You would give him that opportunity. Someone that you've been familiar with, someone that's had success here when he's been given those resources. I know the draft track record obviously is what it is, and maybe that's, you know, reason enough for you to move on from him, but I don't know. It's just tough. And like you said, there's no plan. And if you're a fan rooting for a team with no plan, like what are we doing here?
It's a good conversation though. Really appreciate Dan O'Dowd joining us. We got a couple thoughts we want to bring you on quarterback. the Netflix program and just sort of some thoughts on Burrow, Cousins, one of the great TV shows that we've got. Just kind of look around the league at the prognosis outlook for quarterbacks this coming season. There are some rankings that are very favorable to the local 53. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of stuff to talk about, double play 345, but we're talking some QB next on The Fan.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So did you just go in the other room to do the update when there's a microphone right there?
You give me stage fright. I'll be honest with you. This is what happens when you're a fan of a host on The Fan.
Wait a minute.
Me doing the update in front of you, you can't see it because I'm black. I don't get red. If I got red, it'd be bad.
Okay.
So yeah, I did that.
Is it because you're legitimately embarrassed?
No, it's just the boys behind the glass know how I am with these updates. I am very... It's like game seven of the finals update.
No, and it's good, by the way. I'll take that over like some stuff happened in sports, Rob Metcalf, sports desk, whatever. I understand that, and it's good. It's commendable. It's the way I would love for everyone to approach everything all the time. All that we can do is the best we can do. But why didn't you just do it right there?
Well, you know, it's ironic, right? Last update, I did it right here. I actually got a text from a couple people saying, great update, buddy. If you heard me yesterday, it was
rough. You had bad updates?
It was rough. I had my James Harden playoff performance.
Oh,
that's
no.
What it, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was tough.
But you attribute that to sitting there?
No, I just think maybe it was the pressure of old Danny Routier.
But you're doing a deferring bit, which I like, and you're complimenting at the same time, and you know how to butter my bread, and I appreciate that. But seriously, why'd you leave the room? Like, do you not have what you need right there?
Well, my I don't have a computer in front of me. That's one reason. The font is kind of small on my iPhone.
There's the answer.
That's not the real answer, though. I gave you the real answer. You calling me a liar?
You're not
calling me a truther. You're damn sure not doing that.
I'm questioning the veracity of your statement.
That's fine. That question said veracity of said statement.
Very nice. All right. Welcome back. Grant Danny here on The Fan. Linnell in for GP. And we are hanging out with you guys for the duration. How up to date are you on quarterback?
Be honest with you?
Yeah.
I haven't watched one episode yet.
But you plan to?
Oh, of course.
You're into it?
I binge watch it when I normally do it. I'll watch it all at one time.
So we couldn't get anyone to do it last year.
Yeah.
Because these people are stupid.
Yeah.
Frankly, who said no to it? Everyone who said no is wrong.
Yeah.
Everyone who said yes is correct. So Kirk Cousins is like, listen, if you want to put a camera around, I'll do it again.
And pay me some extra money.
Yeah.
Right, come on.
I'm happy to do it. So that's been interesting so far. Jared Goff is in this year. And of course, Joe Burrow is in as well. So a couple years ago, we got Mahomes. And just quarterback wise, put that aside for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Personality wise, like I don't think anybody was blown away or wowed by Mahomes. That's like, yep, that's on his way to being the greatest ever. He's incredible.
That's what he does.
That's that. Yeah. And I get some other stuff, but I'm not going to. But like him talking, and the best part about the Mahomes elements of it, just sort of going back over it, wasn't necessarily like, when I'm hanging out at home, and that's what I do, and I'm just sort of here, and I'm like that. Like, that's whatever, it's fine. It's the in-game stuff.
That's what I
Where
love.
They got that mic'd up.
Yes.
Right? Where Max Crosby's body was like, I know what you're trying to do, dog, but come on. You know, like, that stuff's the best. Like, that's what makes it so awesome. But for the other guys, it was kind of that off-field stuff. I mean, people, I think, got a feel for what Cousins was going through physically.
Yeah, man.
And you kind of went, oh, my God.
Getting his ass kicked.
You know, when it was Daron Payne that hit him, and he's like, yep, I can't breathe. And
this is brutal.
Yeah, like a weird husband and wife team are coming over and adjusting his ribs cage and spine and this and the other. And then, of course, Mariota, who showed very well before the whole, like, I quit on my team thing.
Yeah.
But it was still great for those guys, PR-wise. So I'm only an episode or two into this new season, and I just can't believe the access. It's so
It's
wonderful.
The best thing that's probably been done in pro sports. Like, Hard Knocks kind of first began to peel that curtain back, giving us the inside information and all that.
Before this, teams got too uptight.
You know what I'm saying? This is a whole different beast, though. Like, you're seeing dudes on the training table. Like, you may catch an argument with a spouse. Like, you don't know what you're going to get on this quarterback series. I think this season in particular, the Jared Goff thing, I'm very interested in because his story is very fascinating to me when you think about him being casted off by Sean McVay and company and having his career renaissance in Detroit. I don't know if this is appropriate to say, he's also got a very, very attractive wife. She is.
I didn't notice that.
She's the star of the show.
I didn't even see that.
Probably if she gets shown. But he's awesome.
Is that right?
I know Ryan's probably getting steamed up watching it. Not for the wife, probably for Jared Goff.
Well, he loves Jared Goff so much.
Yeah.
But you're right about Goff. He, to me, so far, I don't say the breakout star. This is an established pro who's made more money than anybody on the planet.
Right.
And he's had success. I mean, he's been to a Super Bowl. They couldn't wait to replace him. And then he's been at the helm of this really good Detroit team, but went through hellfire to get there. I mean, they started 0-10-1, for goodness sakes, right? I mean, we remember that story a couple years before. But he's the most fascinating guy on there to me because, frankly, we got to know Kirk Cousins so well while he was here. He was on our show every week, as you know. And we know the guy pretty great. And that's, there's Kirk doing Kirk bits, right? Where whatever it takes to slightly improve, or if this, I don't know if this helps me medically or not, but I'm going to give it a shot. We're going to the Caribbean to get these injections. We'll do whatever I got to do to try to be the best version of myself. But Goff, so far to me, has stolen the show.
Yeah.
Where he was so good, not at football, but he was so good, speaking about his experiences.
Yeah.
Where he was like almost in tears.
That's real life, man.
I mean, it's real life stuff. It's like when they're just a uniform and he looks like a praying mantis with a helmet on. But like when he's, you know, screwing up in L.A. so bad that Sean McVay, who's willing to work with anybody, says, I can't deal with this guy. He's cast aside going to the lowest of the low at that point.
Can
Detroit
I be real?
Was terrible.
Yeah. I definitely doubted Jared Goff, and I didn't think the renaissance that he is on, I didn't think it was possible. I'm not trying to Joan or bid or anything like that. He just strikes me as like the most unconfident guy in the world. Like just the way he carries himself, the way he walks, like he's kind of got the slouch bit going on. But I mean, to his credit, the ability to overcome what he, you know, overcame in Los Angeles. If Sean McVay says that I can't do anything with you, I think that's why the rest of the league and people like me were like, well, psh, let's leave this guy for dead then.
Well, and then the reaction that he shares, yeah. And they've got some clips of this, and Dan Campbell's on and forthcoming about it, and Brad Holmes, who I think that guy might actually, if he's stepping out on water, might not sink.
Yeah.
Like he's close. Like that is a bad, like I heard him talk some, mm-hmm. but just even in a few of these clips, I'm going, okay, point me to the wall, I'll run. You know, let's get a shot. But the way that he talks about them actually calling him immediately, trying to reach him, and he's getting a phone call from a number he didn't recognize. He's like, I'm sure somebody just prank calling me or screw with me, like to kick me when I'm down because I'm getting kicked out of LA or whatever. And they're just going over the top about how excited they are, how much they want him, and they can't believe this happened, and they're so grateful. And I'm like, you guys had Matt Stafford?
Yeah, I'm about to say, like, you know what it's like to have a
good one. Had Stafford here, and if you'd done any of this for Stafford, you might see some pretty good results too. But whether they're the same or better, we'll never know. But, you know, there were a couple years where there was some decent personnel around Matt Stafford, and some pretty unbelievable things happened, right? For a franchise that never wins, they won 11 games and whatever. Should have won a playoff game if Jim Caldwell wasn't a coward and didn't go for a 4th-and-1 in Dallas, which I'll never forgive him for. Anyway, the point is, Goff has been incredible and so entertaining. And that's kind of my point here with this show is that it puts that human element to it, right? Like I can still correctly assess and say, every time he hasn't been around a super-duper offensive genius, he has stunk. And when somebody, like, you know, pulls all the levers for him and tells him exactly where to go because they're a genius, he can do well. And I still think that.
Yeah.
But anyway, that just the human part of it, I've been pretty blown away.
It's awesome. And I caught a tweet from our guy GP, and one of his takeaways actually is like the opposite for me about the Joe Burrow piece of this. Because if you all don't know, like, I call him Joey Cartier Beans Burrow because he wears Cartier shades to press conferences. He is the millennials quarterback in terms of, like, he does all the cool stuff. He's at Michael Rubin's all-white party. Like, he's hanging out with Odell Beckham. He's, you know, getting put under anesthesia for tattoos and things of that nature. Like, he is just a cool, cool dude. He dresses different. He's going to Paris Fashion Week.
Well, but he has a fashion consultant.
What? He should. He has drip.
Should he, though?
I have no problem with
should
it. You know why?
One.
Because he is arguably the greatest quarterback in the NFL right now. The best quarterback.
There's a case to be made.
So to see him do all of the extracurriculars and then still perform on Sundays, Thursdays, you know, so on and so forth, I'm even more impressed by him seeing some of the clips of that, like getting the, you know, inside information on what he does off the field.
So here's where I am in general. Like I'm if the performance is there.
Yes.
Hey, man. Do what you want.
Yeah.
Have your fashion consultant, buy your Batmobile, show up when you show up.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting there waiting. I got my pen and paper. I wrote down all the different things, the different distractions, the different crap that you're doing. And the instant it doesn't go well.
Oh, no.
Oh, look at this. Look what you did right there. Right? So you think, for example, for all those years, and I don't mean to pick on somebody, but just jumped into my mind, where I love John Wall so much as a player. Like, just gave everything he had. He tried so hard. But then you'd find out these little anecdotes, these little stories about, well, he didn't have the greatest habits. Was out a little bit too late. Maybe a little bit too much late night food. And then, but still, he's doing the 360 layup, the chase down blocks. He's standing on the table after he hits the shot against Boston. And that's my dude. But next thing you know, when the performance slips and the injuries start to happen, things pile up. And I went, uh-oh.
Because
we got these things that we wrote down.
Receipts is what we call
them. You remember that?
Yeah.
So that's kind of my thought, right? And again, it's not to pick on John Wall, but that's all awesome.
Right.
Have all the swag. Is that correct? Have all the swag that you'd like. When you're throwing for 45 touchdowns and 5,000 yards.
Yeah.
But the instant, we talk about this all the time, guys like Mandy Ramirez or whatever, it ain't cute anymore when you're hitting 210.
This is the thing that I think everyone's got to understand that's not a part of the youngest in charge movement, right? This is going to be the new norm. Like, all these quarterbacks that are getting ready to come into the league, like Arch Manning and, you know, Shador's now in the league now and he's big on streaming and things of that nature. Jackson Dart's going viral every day, Danny, on TikTok for making videos in New York. Like, That's kind of what my age demographic is, man. It's the age of social media. And guys, for a lot of them, social media, the fashion, all that's their outlet. Not to say that they're not going to be locked in, you know, burned to the midnight oil, you know, grinded tape, but they have their extracurricular activities too. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say, like, the Joe Burrow stuff that you're seeing, and like the Shador is a bad example because who knows how his career is going to go. But like these quarterbacks, the personalities of our quarterbacks, I would say, are changing by the second.
Well, you come up in a time where you don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops to earn that money.
Very true.
Then it's going to change the world. I mean, the world has changed. And I'm over here going, hey, has anyone noticed the change? And everyone's like, shut up, old man. Move to the side.
It's happening.
We have new people. That's the note. I'm Danny. 4 o'clock Beltway Blitz. But next, it's time for a little something we like to call the double play. It's what's going on in our lives. Nothing to do with sports. That's 5 minutes away on The Fan.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And what I'm going to do with my double play here, Linnell, is turn it over to Darius.
Dad?
I love you, Dad. So the backdrop here is our guy, Darius, who only loves DC Comics.
Wrong.
I'll tell you what. He only loves DC Comics, DC comic book movies.
Wrong.
That's what he cares about.
So wrong.
He said, well, just what you're, it's not about what you say, it's about what your actions say. who thinks Marvel is the body language quote a waste of time and energy and effort.
Jeez.
This latest phase is a joke. I'm going wherever James Gunn goes. I think that's the body language quote that you get, not the actual word quote.
Unbelievable.
But he wears his Loki shirt.
It is unbelievable, Darius.
As I wear a Loki shirt. Yeah.
you probably found it on sale. Anyway, I kid because there's very little to make fun of you about. So, you did something special last night. Tell the people.
So apparently there was a promotion through Amazon Prime where they were giving the opportunity to see an advanced screening of the new Superman movie, which is now the launch of the new DC universe that James Gunn has taken over. James Gunn's known for doing the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. He's relaunched the DC universe, and the first official film of that DC universe is the new Superman movie, which I got to see last night, which is awesome.
So here is what the main issue I found with the shtick aside. The Dark Knight films, which kind of were Christopher Nolan's standalone trilogy, don't really fit into the larger DC universe writ large. So I kind of put them separate. But since then, they've tried to match what Marvel has done in some way.
Right, agree? With the Snyderverse, as people put it.
Yes.
Which was, what's his name?
Zack Snyder.
Yeah, Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder was the director of those series of movies.
Yeah, and what their biggest pitfall to me was they tried to do what Marvel took years to do, right, in one movie, where you've got to sit through the occasional, this second Thor movie kind of sucks. Yeah, this, Captain Marvel with Brie Larson is not the greatest film ever. It's not terrible. Not as bad as people say, by the way, but still, it's not that good. Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, like some of these things aren't that awesome, but they took their time. They took their time. They gave you all these characters, gave them ups, downs, and betweens, gave them conflicts, gave them resolutions, gave them points of view, gave them 360 panoramic. Let them breathe. DC's like, listen, I've got a Batman movie. We should put everybody in it and not really have you care about them at all and just give Wonder Woman different music when she comes on screen for the first time. They're shoehorning everybody. My worry is that's what they're doing again. There's 70,000 people just in this trailer, including Crypto, which should be like 50 movies in. You can finally be like, okay, cool, Superman has a dog. And it's just in there. But anyway, I turn it over to you. You saw the new Superman. Go.
So I will say, as you mentioned, I am not much of a DC guy. I haven't watched much of the DC movies. I saw Batman vs. Superman. I saw Justice League. That was pretty much it. I hadn't, and I saw the first Suicide Squad movie. That was it. Other than that, I didn't see Man of Steel.
You didn't see Wonder Woman?
No. Actually, I saw the first Wonder Woman. Yeah, I didn't see the second Wonder Woman. And I saw Aquaman. Okay, so I guess I am a DC guy.
See what I'm saying, Linnell? He tried to pretend.
He's still trading Marvel.
You can't hide from who you are.
Yeah. No. yes, to your point, they did rush all that stuff in the original DC universe. This iteration of the new DC universe, I'll say overall, I enjoyed the movie. I had a great experience. I thought the movie was fun. It definitely has that James Gunn appeal to it, where it has some of that unserious comedic value to it in various portions of the movie. But throughout the totality of the movie, it does take itself seriously for its ultimate goal. The part of the movie that did bother me was, yes, they definitely throw some characters at you that they just expect you to know. And I think that's unfair. Especially in my case, as a guy who doesn't really keep up with the DC universe and DC comics as it is, two of the trio of it's really a quartet of characters that they introduce along the movie as the movie goes. I know nothing about those characters, and I'm just expected to know who they are and what their powers are and what they do. And I spent a good portion of the movie being confused by, okay, what does this person do?
Right.
How does this person have his powers? This is, that doesn't make any sense. So that part bothered me, but I would say that's probably about the only part of the movie that bothered me, was that they just threw those characters at you and expected you to know them. Other than that, I thought David Cornsweet, who plays Superman, I thought he was awesome.
I heard he is really good.
He was incredible as Superman. Nicholas Holt, who played Lex Luthor, absolutely incredible. I thought he was really good as Lex.
So he's the dude folks might remember. He's been in a lot of stuff, but he was young Beast in the X-Men.
Yeah, the new version of the X-Men.
Yeah, yes. So the younger version of that, which he's good. I think he's been good at everything he's ever been in.
He's just awesome.
As a quick side.
Yeah, he was great.
So this is my question. So it's like Supergirl and Ultraman, even if that is Ultraman. I don't even know if it's Ultraman or not. It looks like Ultraman. Maybe I'm made to think it's Ultraman. It's not Ultraman. I don't know. But all these different people. You don't even have the regular. No, hold on. Just you're fine. You don't have the regular Green Lantern.
Mel's just a bystander.
You got guy, whatever guy, the second Green Lantern.
Correct, yes.
Or even the third Green Lantern. And I'm sure you're supposed to know. And that doesn't take you out of it? That doesn't frustrate you to the point you can't enjoy it?
It didn't fully take me out of it, but it definitely left a sour taste, I would say. At the end of the movie, it left a sour taste. Like, dang, I kind of wish I would have gotten more background on some of those characters. Because they are a big part of the movie, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in the movie plenty. So it's not like they just throw them in there, their cameo, and then they say, oh, goodbye, we'll see you in, you know, in 3 years when there's a new movie. It's not that. They are definitely a prominent part of the movie. But you're just kind of expected to know who they are, what their powers are, and the movie just goes on and says, okay, cool.
This is why I'll never be able to engage in these conversations, and they're fun. I love, you know, doing the fly on the wall bit, and I love hearing you guys talk about this. If you guys feel this way about it now, and you've been following this thing for years, what is a guy like me who just watched X-Men for the first time like a month ago?
You, frankly, and I'm trying to say this respectfully, there's a great movie called The Big Lebowski, one of my favorite movies of all time.
I haven't seen that one either.
Of course you haven't. But for dudes my age, it's the thing that you watched, right?
Okay.
When you come home late from the bars, hammered, you put on The Big Lebowski. You watch it when you're hungover Sunday morning, put on The Big Lebowski. There's a great moment where the dude, who's the main character, he turns to Donnie, okay, who's played by Steve Buscemi, brilliantly supporting actor. And he and John Goodman, there's a three-way conversation going on. And Donnie has been bowling. And so John Goodman's character and the dude, Walter Sobchak is the name, and the dude are having a conversation. And Donnie is lost. Donnie starts asking a question that's only tangentially related to the main topic. You follow me? And it's not even the right main topic.
That's tough.
So Walter Sobchak turns to him in the middle of a rant and says, Donnie, you're out of your element. That's what's happening here. Linnell, respectfully, you're out of your element.
I am. And I can take that.
Yeah.
It's okay. Because I have other things that I do that are cool.
Absolutely.
You know?
And I don't think anyone's saying this is cool, what Darius and I are talking about.
I think it's pretty cool.
It's decidedly uncool, if I can say that.
I mean, it's just one of the biggest movies of the summer.
It's
going to cross 200,
geez, just tell me
cross
that
200
I,
million know. This weekend.
All right. So you think it'll do that?
It'll get close, yeah. Yeah, projections are putting it close to 200 million.
Man, I plan on seeing it, yeah. So I'm excited. One of the reasons I wanted to do this was I had to talk about the new Superman. I'm excited but nervous. I have been led down this road before, and I got a hearty punch in the nose. Like, not like a jab either, like a right cross, like a Hadouken, like Street Fighter, blast to the nose. That has shattered it and left me near dead. I wanted to give you a chance to talk about it and talk about it with you, but also wanted to debut the Darius Dammann rating system.
Yeah.
Grant has buffalo wings out of 10. I have carbohydrates on my scale of 10. Darius, do you have a drum roll for yourself here?
Give me a second. Let me see if I can stir one up.
I'm gonna vamp for a second while Darius pulls the drum roll out. This is the Darius Dammann rating scale. I gave suggestions yesterday. I don't know what he's picked, but he has a rating scale. Again, I've got carbs. Grant's got buffalo wings. Darius Dammann. As soon as his drum is done, will tell us his rating scale for movies.
My rating scale for movies will be based on egg rolls.
Egg rolls.
Egg rolls. Egg rolls. There yes. we go.
Egg rolls.
Fan favorite, I would say.
Darius loves egg rolls so much.
We love egg rolls. That'd be my eating contest food. Like I said, enjoyed the movie, had a ton of fun with the movie, thought the action was great, CGI was very well done, acting itself was great. Again, the only sour part that left me wanting more was that the additional characters in the movie and the cameos in the movie, I just wanted more from them. I wanted to understand more about those characters. Otherwise, I would give this movie, are we going to do out of 10 or out of 5?
It's your scale, brother.
Let's do out of 10. Out of 10, I'm going to give it 7.5 egg rolls out of 10.
Mm.
7.5 egg rolls. And I don't want that to sound like a sour 7.5. I think that's a really strong 7.5.
It's a strong 7.5.
It could really be an 8.
It's egg rolls with duck sauce.
Yes.
I
love duck sauce.
Yes.
Do you go, now we talked about this before, but you generally go 2 duck sauce bites, 1 mustard bite?
That'd be correct, yes. That's the correct way to do it. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You want to start it with the duck sauce to get that first bite?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Then you want to put the mustard in there?
Yep.
And then you wanna towards the end, you wanna finish with the duck
sauce. So how do you do the series? Do you go 1-1-1? In other words, so think about it, duck sauce is home game and mustard is road game. Are you a 1-1-1 guy or are you a 1-2-1 guy?
It depends.
Or 2-1.
That's
you know what I'm saying?
That's a good observation. I would say I'm more 1-2-1. Yeah, because I definitely make sure I get that full mustard.
But you don't go mustard first?
No, I don't go mustard first, but I get that full mustard in the middle.
So you go duck sauce 1, duck sauce 2, then mustard?
No. Duck sauce 1, then mustard, again.
That's
finish off the packet.
You double mustard?
Yes.
You go two mustards?
Two mustards.
Aggressive.
We literally just established that you go duck sauce twice.
We did, but it's aggressive, I'll be honest. Mustard with the egg? I know people do it. I'm just a duck sauce guy.
The hot mustard?
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. Why would
I know it's great.
Nah.
Yeah. Wait. Okay. I know we got to go to break.
I'm saying, let's just say we have an egg roll, four bites.
We have a single egg roll.
Yeah.
You have unlimited amounts of duck sauce and mustard.
Yes.
Go.
My first bite to get into the egg roll is with duck sauce.
Yes.
Once the egg roll is open and the steam is rising from it, we're going mustard until we get to that fourth bite. And then that fourth and final bite will be duck sauce.
Are you trying to like evenly disperse the sauce? Do you have do you favor one over the other? Duck sauce is so much better than spicy mustard, though, Darius. So like, show some more love to your own sauce.
That's to be debated, but we do need to go to break.
We have to go to break. You literally said you go two duck sauces, then one mustard, and then you change your whole paradigm.
Well,
I don't even know what to believe anymore, DC Darius. Beltway Blitz is next.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.